Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, good evening. I hope that it's been a good day for you, and I hope that you are ready to dig into God's Word. My messages tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night are all drawn from the series I've been doing this summer at Camp Arrowwood. Camp Arrowwood, if you're not aware, is thebestcamp.com. You need to check it out. I can't believe that God gave us that website, but he did. That's the address. You can learn about Camp Arrowwood. It filled up literally in a matter of a few minutes, less than 5 minutes. Camp for this summer totally filled up. Isn't that amazing? That's how popular it is. But when you're thebestcamp.com, what do you expect? So Camp Arrowwood is a delight to me every year because students come from all over and have a marvelous, fun time. They learn new skills. They make new friends. But most importantly, they learn about Jesus. Some of them come from deeply religious homes where the Lord Jesus is worshiped and living his life through mom and dad. Others of them come from homes where there is very little understanding of the gospel and where God's word is not studied in family devotions. But let me tell you, when they're here at camp, they listen, they pay attention, and we learn together. As we meet with the Lord, there's a time of worship followed by a time of teaching. And it is a great joy to see these young people eager to learn and to know more. So, as you listen to these devotionals tonight and tomorrow night, and the next night, I hope that you will not only be encouraged in your faith, but that you'll also be encouraged to pray for Camp Arrowwood and for our year-round program here at Ware's Valley Ranch. We have a residential program that serves children from all over the United States and is only made possible by God's supernatural provision through the kindness of our friends. So I encourage you, check out thebestcamp.com, check out wvr.org, and right now, let's go to the Lord and study his word. All right, you've got your books, got them tonight. So we're going to be going through some messages the next three nights, and I hope you'll be encouraged by God's word. I want to start tonight by asking you to think about what it really takes in order to be blessed. What does it take in order to have a blessed life, a really happy life? Who on this planet is happy? I remember when I was much younger than any of you, far too young to come to a camp like this, I thought I knew what would make me happy. It pretty much had to do with certain toys. There were toys that looked so good, seemed so appealing, and I felt if I could have them, the most exciting to me were the ones that seemed to bring freedom and independence. And so as a preschooler, I felt that it was important for me to have a tricycle. How many of you started your driving career with a tricycle? Okay, quite a number of you. Folks, I didn't just want a tricycle. I wanted a very special tricycle. Somewhere we still have pictures of me on this tricycle. It was designed to somehow resemble a police vehicle. It had a plastic windshield, had a horn. It should have had a siren, but it didn't. It just had a horn. You could squeeze the little bulb and it would make a sound. It had little things that hung off of the handlebars, and it was painted
white and had black letters on it, and it said police on the windshield. I felt that if I could have that tricycle, I would be happy. That would just do it for me, because with that, I could not only ride away from my house and around the neighborhood, but I would do so in style. People would look and see me and be impressed as I traveled down the street. Well, my next door neighbor was a bad kid, and he punched a hole in my plastic windshield. And I was devastated, because now it just didn't look cool anymore, you know? I thought prior to that hole in the windshield that I really looked great. I mean, what did I look like? I looked like a preschooler on a tricycle. But to me, I looked like a cop. And now I looked like a cop who'd been vandalized, and it was humiliating. It was terrible. I just didn't feel the same about it after that. But then I got a little bit older, still a preschooler, 5 years old. I got my first bicycle, two-wheeler, a real two-wheeler. It was red, it was used, but it was red. And I learned to ride that thing, and I thought, now I have arrived. Now I have got what it takes to be happy. And I was so excited about that. But as I grew and culture changed, you're way too young to even have read about this in history books of American pop culture. But they introduced two things that were very vital for all young Americans to have. One was called the butterfly handlebars. Butterfly had to have the big, instead of just handlebars, you had to have big butterfly handlebars, big handlebars. Not as good really for steering, but looked really good going around the neighborhood. And the other was a banana seat. It was a long seat like this, not just one of those little saddles. Instead, it was a long seat. You could probably get someone on the back if anybody was crazy enough to ride with you. And I had to have butterfly handlebars and the banana seat and change my red bike over to that, okay? That was just, in order to be happy, that's what I had to have. But you know what I found about all those things? They don't really satisfy. Oh, for a while, when you don't have them, they seem like the answer to the problems of life. But once you get it, it just wasn't that great. And eventually, I would be embarrassed to be seen on that bike. I wanted to get a Schwinn 5-speed. That's when 3-speed bikes were for grown-ups. 5-speeds, that was for a really great bike. They also had 10-speeds, but I couldn't afford a 10-speed. So I saved up my money and I got a 5-speed bike. It was gold, literally. The color was gold, and I was so thrilled for a while. But then there were a couple of guys in my town who had what was called a mini bike. It had an engine on it. It was like a lawnmower engine, but still, it had an engine on it. You could pull the cord, and that thing would start up, and all you had to do was pull the throttle, and it would take you where you wanted to go. Not real fast, but it would take you where you wanted to go without your having to pedal. Well, once I saw the mini bike, my 5-speed was just kind of dull. You know what I mean? I had to have a mini bike. I got a mini bike. Some of you have heard of the evangelist Billy Graham. His son had a mini bike, and when he got a motorcycle, I got the mini bike. I bought it from him. Saved up my money. Bought the mini bike. Now I'm in good shape. But pretty soon I felt goofy riding around on that mini bike because you couldn't go all that fast. And I thought, man, when I turn 16 and I've got my driver's license, life is going to be good. And you know what? I turned 16 a long time ago. And I got a driver's license. And I had an old used car, a 1963 Chevy Bel Air. Man, now I am really happy for a while. You know what happens? Everything fails to deliver. All the things we think are going to be so great. Oh, if I could just have that. Oh, if I could just do that. Oh, when I'm allowed to do this, then everything will be good. And then we get it. And at first it's like, ah! And then it's like, huh? And then it's like, huh? Jesus tells us that the things we think will bring us happiness, don't do it. Instead, to be happy, to be really blessed, is found in our relationship with Him. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. For some of you, this is very familiar. Now, when He saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Folks, we've heard those words before. They're called the Beatitudes. They're the opening segment of the Sermon on the Mount. They're on plaques. They're on cards. It's familiar. But to the people who heard these words first, they were shocking. It was absolutely amazing, even confusing, because Jesus is listing people that we would say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, really?" And Jesus is saying, they're the ones who are blessed. They're the ones who should be really happy. They're the ones who should be rejoicing, because what's coming for them is so much better than anything you and I could achieve in this life.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jesus talks about the poor in spirit, those who mourn, and He says those are the ones who are really happy. That sounds like a contradiction in terms. How can He say people who mourn are happy? People who mourn are blessed. He says because they're going to be comforted. The problems in this life that people have are temporary, and the pleasures in this life that people have are temporary. But a relationship with God, where you hunger and thirst for righteousness, where you seek to do what God says, pursuing peace, where you're willing to suffer persecution because of Jesus, those folks are going to be happy and blessed forever. Great is your reward in heaven, Jesus says. That's the way He starts this sermon. Listen to one of the things He says toward the end in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now process that for a moment and realize Jesus is saying most people are on the wrong road. Most people are headed in the wrong direction. Most people are pursuing what feels good now. This will satisfy me. This will make me happy. If I could just do this, if I could just go there, if I could just date that person, if I could just make this much money, if I could just become famous, if I could just win this competition, if I could just, and if that's what you're living for, you never get satisfied. You never come to the point where it's like, peace. Real peace, real joy are found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, most people are not on that road. Jesus says it's a narrow way. Jesus says it's a difficult way. Jesus says few find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel on it. I hope this week you're going to really honestly consider before God which road you're traveling. Which way are you going? Are you pursuing happiness on your terms? Are you still thinking like a preschooler, like I was once? Thinking, if I can get this, if I can get this, if I can get that. I know people my age who are still thinking that way. They still think, well, I just need, if I can just make it to retirement and have this much money saved up, then I'll be happy. Okay? If other people will look at me and admire me and speak well of me, if I could just get famous, if I could be on one of those TV shows and win the prize. Let me tell you, I've known some of the people who've won big prizes in life, and it didn't satisfy. Tom Brady. Anybody know Tom Brady, the quarterback? Know who he is? Marvelous athlete. Married to a supermodel. Okay? Famous, rich as can be in money, champion, 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 the hits just keep coming in. I mean, this guy's got it all. What did he say after one of his Super Bowl wins? He says, there's got to be more. Is this really all there is? There's got to be more. Years and years ago, a very famous rich man was asked, how much money does it take to satisfy a person? His answer, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. No amount of money satisfies. Nothing in this life can fill the emptiness inside that only Jesus can fill. Jesus made you for a relationship with him. Nothing else is going to fill that emptiness. Nothing else. But most people are on a broad road going with traffic. Everybody else is doing it, so I guess I will too. This looks like the way it's done. This is what I've seen growing up. This is what I see going on around me. This is what everybody at school does. This is what my family does. This is what my grandparents did. I'm going to pursue it too. I want that. If that's what you're chasing, you're not going to be happy in the long run. That'll never satisfy. But there is a way to be satisfied. There is a way to have joy. There is a way to have peace. There is a way to have a life that has purpose and meaning. And that is on that narrow road. Knowing Jesus, trusting him, doing what he says. But if you do that, there will be times when you are mourning. You're having a hard time. Because your happiness doesn't come from your circumstances. And it's okay to grieve and be sorrowful about things that should make us sad. In case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of stuff that's not right with this world. Anybody aware of that? This is a world where we have suffering and sorrow and tribulation. And if you just try and escape that and drown it out, you'll only make your problems worse. And you won't be any good to anybody else either. But if you come to grips with that, you learn how to mourn about the right things. You learn how to care and be able to share in the sorrow of others even. And you're willing to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus. Then you know what? You will be comforted. You will be blessed. You will inherit the earth. You will have great reward in heaven. So again, I want you to think, which road am I on? I mean, really, in terms of how I'm living, what am I living for? Am I living for Jesus, doing everything for the glory of God? Or am I thinking, oh, I can do that later. I can do that when I grow up. Why would you want to be on the wrong road and then have to turn? The sooner you turn, I'm happy to tell you, as one who's known Jesus for a long time, I've never, never wished that I could have spent a little more time away from the Lord. The stuff I missed out on, it's not stuff I wish I'd been in on. That would be like saying, well, it would have been nice if I could have been shot a few times. No, it wouldn't, okay? Well, I think it'd be cool if maybe I could have been stabbed a few times. No! Sin hurts you. It hurts you. The reason God hates that stuff is because it's bad for you. If I gave you each a hammer, would you want to just get a few good whacks in on your thumb? Missing the mark is one of the terms for sin. It's when you go to aim and you miss the bullseye. In fact, you miss the target. That's what sin is. It's doing the wrong thing. Doing things in a way that God never intended. And there are tons of people on that road doing things that God says, don't do that. Don't do that. That's going to bring you sorrow. It's going to bring you misery. It's going to mess up your life. Trust God. He loves you. He has a plan for you. And if you will trust in him and do what he says, you will find that that is the way of blessing. That is the road to joy. And I want you to end up in joy and peace and blessing. You have to choose which road you're going to take. You have to decide whether you're going to live for yourself and your own pleasures right now, or whether you're going to live for Jesus. Let me tell you, it's not just about sin. Good things can mess us up if we treat them as if they are what really matters. If you take good things that God has made and put them in the place of God, you will mess yourself up. But if you will take all the things that God has made and said, Lord, thank you, this is yours, and I am yours. Show me what you want me to do, and I'll obey you. He'll do that. He'll guide you. He'll meet every need you have. And he will make you a blessing to others. So, if material wealth could make a person happy, why are so many people who are so rich so miserable? Why do so many folks get famous and end up strung out on drugs, overdosing, even committing suicide? Why? Because that stuff can't satisfy. Money won't do it, drugs won't do it, sex won't do it, fame won't do it. The only one who can really, really give you joy is Jesus. And I want you to know him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.